And our special guest tonight, William Buhlman, expert. Out-of-body experiences, his latest work, Adventures Beyond the Body, The Secret of the Soul. And we'll be back with William in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, William Buhlman. And he is America's leading expert on the subject of out-of-body experiences, an authority in numerous OBE and past life regression techniques, from the shamanistic to the modern. And he conducts worldwide surveys, by the way, on out-of-the-body experiences, thousands of responses yielding incredible conclusions. 18,000 participants. Here he is, William Buhlman. Hey, William, welcome back. How are you?
Hello, George. How are you?
Good. Always a pleasure to have you on, my friend. Great topic, great subject matter. You know, when you were last on with me in April of last year, we were talking about the survey and the participants. Is it all wrapped up now?
No, it's ongoing. I still have the survey questions on my website that people, as a matter of fact, I'm always looking for more information, more participants in the survey. And I'm in the next couple weeks, we're planning to start a new survey, a more detailed survey that will be initiated in probably about 10 days.
Okay, tell us a little bit about this survey and how did you approach it?
Well, initially, it was about the vibrational state. When I began to have out-of-body experiences in the early 70s, I was shocked to find that there was so little information about the vibrational state. In other words, all the phenomena associated with an OBE, the vibrations, the noises, the sounds, paralysis. I detail these in my book. But a lot of these are, I found, were very common, and yet nobody talked about them, so I wanted to find out more, because when you're having these experiences and you have no explanation for them, they can be a little frightening for people. And for a long time, there was just a lack of knowledge about this entire subject. Matter of fact, we still need a lot more information about the whole entire subject of out-of-body experiences.
Well, you know, if you were to go outside and, let's say, talk to 100 people and say, hey, what do you think of OBEs? How many do you think would even know what you were talking about?
Well, I travel all over talking about this subject, and I found that it's become pretty widely accepted now. Now, I must admit, 20 years ago it wasn't. Even 15 years ago, but now it's become part of our culture. And most people at least will know what it is, at least the people that I have talked to. I would say 60-70% at least would know what the topic is.
They might not know how to achieve it, but they may know what it is.
No, not that, but I think it's become pretty widely known. Unfortunately, most people don't understand why it's so important to them. Because let's face it, one-third of our life is a complete mystery. You know, what happens when you go into this altered sleep, that altered state that we call sleep? And many people are having experiences, and they don't know what they're called. They don't know what they are. They just know something unusual may have happened while they were sleeping.
And some of them are thinking they were dreams. They're not sure. You know, it's possible they were having OBEs, and they think they were just dreams.
Absolutely. Based on my experiences, which is over the last 35 years, myself and other people have actually observed people sleeping. And one of the remarkable things that we discovered was that people actually, and I'm talking about everyone, every listener tonight, will separate, go out of sync from their body when they fall asleep. And I'm not saying they float up to the ceiling, but they actually separate. Sometimes it's a matter of inches. But in other words, every human, matter of fact, every mammal, has an out-of-body experience when they go to sleep at night. Now, we're not conscious of it, or at least most of us are not conscious of it. During the dream state, we're actually separated. Our consciousness, our astral body, what many people call it, or our etheric body, is separating from our physical body, going into a recharging mode. And this has been actually observed by many, many people during an out-of-body experience.
You know, it's kind of funny. I've been looking at the prototypes online of electric cars. And, you know, you could see how they have the cord, plug it in, and charge up the batteries. it's much like an astral body and a physical body, isn't it?
Absolutely. We are charging at night. There, and that's why this is essential, because we're not physical beings. You know, many people lose this, are so obsessed with the physical nature of reality that they forget that we're only visitors here. We are not physical beings. And even some people might find this shocking, but we're not humans either. We're conscious energy using form for our experience.
We're really all cocoons, aren't we?
Well, and we can change these forms. One of the remarkable things that I discovered from my out-of-body experiences and from other people's is that as you prolong your out-of-body experience, you begin to automatically lose or, let's just say, dissolve your humanoid form. You slowly become almost like a globe of energy, a globe of consciousness with a 360-degree viewpoint. And this has been experienced by thousands and thousands of people have related this to me. So it was proof to me that we're not humanoid at all.
Why is it that some people get that jarring effect when they're in their astral body? They're not in it very long, and then other people can prolong it.
Are you referring to the return, the jarring effect of a return?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, someone may realize they're out of their body, and someone with not a lot of experience, they seem to get slammed back into their body pretty quickly. Yet someone with more experience seems to be able to control how long they want to stay out there.
Well, it's mostly a self-identity issue. People are conditioned to believe they are their bodies, which, of course, we're not. But during our experiences, we go where our thoughts direct. That's one of the basic laws of the universe. And once you direct your thoughts to your body, that's immediately where your consciousness will go. So that's what causes that slamming effect. We have a natural tendency to associate with our dense body.
Well, William, let's talk a little bit about the survey, and it was done on an international basis, right?
Yes, it was.
How did you get your participants? How did you round them up?
Well, I was fortunate. My books are in 8 languages, and so my survey was published in 8 languages. So the same survey that's available in English was available in all through France and Germany, all through, matter of fact, parts of Asia even, but almost all of Europe. My book sold well, and people started to fill out the surveys and send them to me. And I received an incredible, I still have cases and cases of mail from people who completed the survey. Matter of fact, I had to get an interpreter to read a lot of the stuff from Germany and France and Italy. And that's really where it come from. Also, I've done workshops all through Europe now for 10 years. So I get a lot of exposure that way, and I always encourage people to participate to provide as much information as possible. So it gave me really a rare opportunity to get more information probably than anyone else. Matter of fact, I know it is. My problem is I need almost help to analyze all this data that I receive.
Are you doing it all yourself, Bill?
Yes, myself and my wife and at one point my twin boys. We were all 4 working on just trying to analyze the data, compile it, and it's a big job.
It sure is. It sure is. Well, let's talk about some of the aspects of the survey. For example, tell us about the expecting mothers communicating with their future child.
That's one of the fascinating things that I've received. I just did a workshop in France and in Italy a few months ago, and I received an incredible amount of information. Even then, just recently, this is brand new information, where I had actually 3 participants, 3 women who were attending my workshop in Italy, had been pregnant just in the last 2 years. And that's one of the reasons they come to the workshop is because they had actually had an OBE during their pregnancy. And they swore to me, this is before the workshop, they come up to me all excited and started explaining how they actually communicated with their baby before it was born in what would people would perceive as in the spirit world. And the baby, they had this in-depth communication where they even knew what the sex was going to be, even though they haven't had its... and they even talked about the past and how the two people had past relationships from a previous lifetime. Very detailed information. And, of course, I asked them, please write all this down because I'll never remember this. And that's when I started to get a lot of new information just from that kind of thing. So a lot of people that attend my workshops have had profound experiences.
Now, how do we know it was an OBE and not some other form of telecommunication, telepathy?
That's a good question. And mostly because of the way they described it. They actually talked, and I don't put words in anyone's mouth. I let them explain their experience because I know there's various forms of psychic communication. I'm well aware of this. But when they start talking about entering, you know, feeling vibrations and then exterior, what we would perceive as exteriorization, leaving the body, and then communicating with this soul or this entity, however you wish to perceive it. And it was very clear to me they were referring to an out-of-body experience. Matter of fact, they called it an out-of-body experience. That's why they were at the workshop. But you're right. Other communications do occur, which are more psychic in nature. But this is where people have actually described to me, and this is, of course, women, face-to-face communications, which goes way beyond just a psychic connection of just getting communication through images, which is what many people do perceive. It's like a psychic connection. This is a face-to-face communication with someone who is about to be your child. I mean, it's mind-blowing to that person. I mean, it's hard for me to describe this because, of course, I've never had that experience.
No, of course not.
But obviously, it was so exciting to them that I started to take more and more note of this, and I realized there was a lot of these experiences were happening.
I wonder if the child, when it grows up, remembers the experience.
Well, they certainly would in a subconscious level. Now, whether they would on a conscious level, I guess that would be a good question to ask in a future survey.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
When they're old enough to be able to answer surveys.
I would. Most people do not remember the pre-birth experiences.
Do you have a different view, William, on what happens when one dies based on your experience with OBEs?
I have a very yes, I do. Based on my experience, which goes back 35 years, I've done a lot of exploring. I've dedicated my life to this. And what I have found is that the whole concept of a lot of the concepts that we now believe in are totally, there's no sugarcoating it. They're false. The reality that people experience after death is a thought-created environment. The universe is highly thought responsive, and many different realities exist on many different dimensions of reality, and different groups will actually create the reality with the group thought of that. In other words, if you believe, let's say, if you're an avid Christian, you will probably end up in a group, a mindset that's similar to yours, in other words. And what I found is that most people...
Upon death, you're
saying. Upon death, yes.
All right.
They will actually go to the area that's comfortable for them.
The Christian section.
in a way. Now, I don't want to simplify this because it's a little more involved than this. But it really is that we create that reality. Now, what is shocking is that many people limit themselves. What people's perception of heaven is really lower segments or middle segments of the astral plane. People are so locked into a form-based self-conception, they limit their spiritual growth because they believe they are a three-dimensional being. And in doing so, they lock themselves in the denser portions of the astral plane or the astral dimension. And most humans end up not in the highest realms as we would perceive it, but actually in the more mundane realms or realities that are created by that group concept.
So do you think, well, first of all, do you believe in a heaven and hell concept?
No.
You don't?
No, okay. There is no heaven. There's all the concepts. This is based on a lot of, not only my experience, but others. These are man-made concepts. The devil, the hell, heaven, damnation, all these concepts are man-made. I found no evidence to support these concepts. There's realities. And now, if you want to call them heaven or in hell, that's your choice.
Right, right. I mean,
but
because
we put the labels on them.
So I think what they've done is they took the devil, and the devil, of course, to me is synonymous with evil and negativity, and they turned it into that, where I think what they're still saying is stay away from being negative, try to be more positive, more in the light, yet they've created it with these images.
Well, and they've not only created it, but they've reinforced it over the last 2,000 years. It's unfortunate that that's the case, because the only thing that limits our growth is us, our beliefs, our self-conception. You know, we are the ones that are creating the blocks and the walls around us. And unfortunately, the blocks and the walls have been created on a global level. So that's one of the things that imprisons a lot of people into the denser dimensions of reality, like this planet Earth.
Right, but we do have these higher dimensions, right?
Yes, yes, and they are available. This is why OBEs is so darn exciting. And matter of fact, I still don't understand to this day why this topic has not taken off, because this affects all of us.
Beyond this show.
Way beyond our show. This is not, you know, you cover a lot of great topics on your show, but most people will not have an alien contact. Most people will not encounter Bigfoot and many of the other. I know, even though it's interesting, it doesn't impact people's lives directly.
Right.
Right now, OBEs affects every single person on the planet. Because we're all headed to the, we're all going to have an out of body experience, one way or another, no matter what you believe.
At some time.
I mean, there's no escaping it. We are all leaving our bodies. So why don't we learn about it? Why don't we find out what's going on?
Didn't the Egyptians learn about it? The Tibetans? Didn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Every culture has a rich history of studying the afterlife. They have a rich history of exploring out-of-body adventures. The Egyptians detailed it. The Tibetan Book of the Dead is based upon it, for God's sake. The Bible has all kinds of references to out-of-body experiences. You know, I was in the spirit on the Lord's Day, etc. The Quran is built on an out-of-body experience of Muhammad.
You have come up with one of the most incredible theories of the Nazca Lines, which I want to talk about later on tonight, that I have ever seen. In addition to that, of course, you have done some work into looking at the multidimensional universe. So let's talk a little bit about that when we come back, William. Tell us, you've got a couple websites. Which ones do you recommend? Both of them?
Yes, astralinfo.org and outofbody.com. They're both excellent informational sites.
And with outofbody.com, do you need the hyphens in between there?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's out-of-. Just like it's spelled, .com.
Okay. We'll be back in a moment with William Buhlman on Coast to Coast AM. If you don't have the After Dark newsletter, well, you can pick it up by calling 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. After Dark newsletter, full-color newsletter like a news magazine, and right now you get 13 issues for the price of 12. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, William Buhlman, our special guest. William, let's talk, if we can, about the multidimensional universe and some observations and some of your work. What do we have here?
Well, that's one of the most exciting aspects. I tell you, that's one of the reasons that I still find this. This is the most exciting topic for me that I can possibly imagine. You know, because we all have an opportunity to be explorers and actually experience the multidimensional universe, not just talk about it and theorize. with OBEs, when you have an OBE, you're entering the multidimensional universe. You're moving to a higher vibrational level of reality. And that's what an out-of-body experience is. We are multidimensional beings. We exist on every level of reality right now. But we only are aware of the physical because that's where our focus is. When we have an out-of-body experience, we actually enter into the next level of reality for most people, which is some people call it the etheric, other people call it the astral. But the bottom line is we enter another dimension of reality. And the physical world is actually the epidermis layer of the universe. It's a temporary construct. And a lot of people have a difficult time with this because it reverses all of our concepts of reality, because we feel that three-dimensional matter is the basis of real. And it's the reverse is actually true. This entire physical reality will be dust, and we, all of us, will continue to exist in another dimension of reality at one point in time in the future, no matter who we are. So this multidimensional universe gets exciting because each of us has an opportunity to actually experience it for ourselves during our OBEs, and it's incredibly vast. And I'm working on a book now that will go into this topic. It is a huge topic because there is so much to be explored, way beyond any one person's ability in one lifetime.
Sure.
But it's dimensions within dimensions. The concept, this is what I found, most of the current belief systems are flawed. There's no seven. Or seven within seven. All these metaphysical concepts, I've not found them to be accurate. There may be 7,000 for all I know, but there's levels within levels of energy. Each one is a finer energy. In other words, just a little less dense, and they all exist here and now. That's what's so exciting. It's not somewhere else. The astral plane is right here with us. We are part of it because when you feel emotions, you're feeling your astral body. When you have a thought, you're feeling your intellectual body. When your subconscious mind works, you're actually touching the subconscious dimension. All of these, we are the channel for all this energy. So it's a very exciting topic because every listener out there can verify and explore the multidimensional universe for themselves and go beyond theories. And that's what I find the most exciting aspect of the entire subject of OBEs is this you actually become an explorer. And it's hard to, it's so exciting, it's really hard for me to express this because you sound, oh, yeah, right. But it's true. Talk to anybody that's had an out-of-body. I know you talked to a lot of people.
Sure.
It's exciting because you're suddenly touching another, you're entering another reality. And this reality is very complex because it's more sensitive to thought, because the matter is less dense. So, of course, you can manipulate that some of these dimensions.
In these dimensions, with our ability to travel, how did it start, in your opinion? I mean, this is the difficult part. Why is it even there?
Because, remember, the matter is the end result of creation. What we see around us is really the thin skin of an apple. That's what we experience. We're seeing just the shade of reality. The true reality exists inward in these finer dimensions that are manipulated by thought, created by thought. I feel that, matter of fact, I know from experience that the universe is, you know, they talk about the expanding universe. You've had guests that talk about this. You know why the physical universe is expanding? It's because the inner universes of thought are expanding.
We're doing it.
We are doing it. Absolutely. We and all sentient beings throughout the entire universe, because we're only a tiny fraction of all of the populated planets, the populated beings are in the universe. We're just a little tiny part of it. And every thought expands the universe. Every thought that we create is creating a thought form on the astral plane.
So you believe it was created, however?
Yes, I believe that there was a starting point. I believe there was a, let's just say, a giant thought, so to speak, would be the best way to describe it. A giant thought of creation. And this expanded throughout the universe. Now, I don't know, I can't say who was the initiator.
That was going to be my next question. Darn.
But I do feel that it's definitely, everything begins with a thought. All physical reality. You know, that's one of the great secrets that many, you know, everybody's, you know, in the last year, I've been in China for 4 years, as you know, and just moved back recently. And I was not really up on all the latest books, and then I found out about this, you know, about the secret. You know what the real secret is that thoughts, our thoughts are creating our physical reality. We're molding our reality now. When you have an out-of-body experience, you'll begin to see like clouds of energy close to you. And many people don't get it, but these clouds are your own thoughts that are beginning to take form. This is the true secret of creation. We are forming our reality by the way we focus our thoughts, because we're molding the energy of the astral plane, of the etheric plane. And these thought forms are the beginning, the seeds of physical creation. And by manipulating this energy field that this unseen energy field, we can begin to shape and mold physical reality. This is the core system behind all magical beliefs. This is why rituals are used in church.
Millions of people claim to be abducted by aliens in their sleep state. I don't know what they're seeing, William. I don't know what's happening to them, but I will say it's strange indeed. Some of these abductions have been misinterpreted as OBEs.
Well, is that the way you perceive this?
Yes. Don't you?
Well, see, I look at it the opposite way. I wrote an entire chapter about this in one of my books, The Secret of the Soul, about alien abduction. One of the fascinating things I discovered is that during my survey, I received about 200 letters from people that were basically abductees. And what I found remarkable was that many, if not all, of the phenomena associated with abductions were identical to OBE phenomena. Which isn't that a little bit of a coincidence?
Well, I don't believe in coincidence. You know that.
Neither do I.
But they do see alien beings with them. Now, do they see that in an OBE as well? These little physical beings running around, or?
Okay. Now, keep in mind, when you leave your body, you're in a thought responsive dimension of reality.
All right.
And in a thought responsive reality, your thoughts will mold the energy around you based on your preconceptions and your beliefs. And if you have a strong feeling, many people, for instance, have a very fear-based reaction to the vibrational state. This is one of the reasons I started to study it. It can be terrifying to people. You can't move. There's massive energy flows going through your body. You feel like you're being touched, or you feel like you're being moved. All this is part of an OBE. And then that fear and your belief system can and will mold the energy around you. Now, I am not saying that every abduction phenomena is an OBE, but I do believe there is, many of them have been misinterpreted. As, in other words, many of the abduction phenomena are actually OBEs. Because when you leave your body, it's a very physical-like sensation. It's not this Shirley MacLaine, airy-fairy thing. You are three-dimensional. You are solid in your reality. Many people don't realize that. And your surrounding to you is very solid. And everything that you encounter will be real to you. And many people will actually create a fear-based reaction. And it could be anything. It could be a lion. It could be any fear-based challenge. that they may have to confront could manifest. One of these could be aliens.
Well, that's true.
Now, because remember, it is a thought-responsive universe, and we have to start looking at the universe in a more enlightened way, because we have a tendency to think of everything as matter, three-dimensional. And the vast majority of reality is not three-dimensional. It's not matter-based, and it's not form-based. It's all energy.
I guess I got to ask you this. You do believe in a creator?
I believe that something started the process.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
Whatever it is. And planned it. I mean, it just works like a puzzle, doesn't it? Fits like a puzzle.
It's an amazing creation. That's all. It's an amazing creation, especially considering it's all here and now. Yet there's many, many dimensions. Yes.
You train people for OBEs. You teach people the ability to do that. Yet some people can't do it. Other people are very good at it. Why is that?
You know, that's a very good question. I don't really know. There's a lot of reasons for it. Some people are just, and believe me, it's a little frustrating for me sometimes. Some people are trying so hard and they're having difficulty. And other people, the first attempt, they haven't experienced. Let me go back a bit. It took me 30 days of training to initiate my first experience. So I don't consider myself a natural. I had to work hard at it, where other people like Robert Monroe appear to be naturals. They were just popping out of their body spontaneously.
Yep.
I think a lot of it, and I have no evidence to support this, but it seems to make sense to me, is a lot of it is past life training. Some people had extensive, let's just say, training, possibly as Buddhist monks, who knows. And that training they've carried that over into this life, and they're able to initiate that state of consciousness more easily. That to me makes sense, because remember, we're the end result of a long chain of events, right? I mean, our physical life today is a result of a long chain of past events, way beyond this life, and we bring into this life many training, many kinds of training, many kinds of traumas also. We bring a lot of baggage with us also. But many people, I feel, are just naturally talented, just like Mozart and Beethoven, you know, when they were young children were writing symphonies. It's the same kind of phenomena.
The Nazca Lines in Peru, you have a theory that's got to be one of the best I've ever heard of, beyond, okay, we've had visitations and they made these as a sign of thanks to extraterrestrials. Pushing that theory aside, I couldn't understand, if that wasn't the case, why in the heck would these people make these things if you couldn't see them unless you were over them? Let's talk about that.
Oh, okay. Well, let me go back a bit. And my take on this is based on not my theory at all, but based on my training that I did in Peru with two ayahuascaros. They're shamans that use medicine plants. I had the good fortune to train with two of the finest that I know of. They speak only Spanish. These are true shaman. They're not these are the real deal.
The real deal.
And we were doing medicine plants, heavyweight stuff, ayahuascaro, San Pedro, and we were doing it every day, different ceremonies in different places. And through an interpreter, I asked the shaman. We actually went to Nazca. That was part of the training.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the shaman, matter of fact, I had long discourses with the shaman on this subject, and they told me this story that was passed down to them, that the Nazca lines, and one of these gentlemen were actually from that region of Peru. They were created as ceremonial centers, because if you look at the symbols, most of them have a round or a rounded circle somewhere.
Right.
And they would, the shaman would have a group of chilas or initiates around them, and they would have sacred ceremony in this, what they call the circle. And in the circle, they would often do medicine plants. It may be different kinds. Could be San Pedro, ayahuasca, whatever. But in the ceremony, they're all doing the plant. They're doing the plant training. And part of the initiation of the trainees was to be able to actually, in the midst of the ceremony, they would do it, for instance, in the spider, the Nazca figure, the spider has the head. That would be the ceremonial center, the head. Generally, that's where all the ceremonial centers were. There are 20 students around him, all very heavily involved in plant ceremony and deep meditation. They would sit there and leave their bodies, and part of the training was they had to rise above their body and identify the figure that they were within. And when they identified the figure, that's when they were considered passing. That's when they were perceived as becoming true shaman. That was part of the initiation process of a shaman in Peru. And this is not my philosophy. This was told to me by two very respected and old shaman in Peru.
It makes a lot of sense. I do wrestle with the extraterrestrial theory. I think part of me wants to believe that because I want to believe that we've been visited and they were doing this as a gift to the gods. But I could see this happening, that it's a ceremonial situation for OBEs.
Well, it's part of their culture. This is an essential part of their culture. Ceremony was, remember, they didn't have doctors back then. This is where healing was done. You know, nobody went to the clinic.
Well, they went to the shaman.
You went to the shaman.
Yeah.
You went, and the shaman analyzed what was wrong with you, and then he did energy work on you. Many shaman leave their bodies. I mean, that's part of the training of being a shaman. Matter of fact, the word shaman means between two worlds. In the Tungus tongue,
which is
the ancient tongue of the Peruvians, that they have a deep culture of mystical out-of-body experiences, and this is just, a matter of fact, all of South, the American Indians also, this is nothing really that radically new, but nobody seems to connect the dots here. And if you notice, look next time you're looking at the Nazca figures, look how many of them have circles. Somewhere there will be a circle. In every figure, there's a circle. And, of course, there had to be lines connecting the circles. But the circles were the pivotal energy points, because that's where the initiates did their sacred ceremony. And it makes perfect sense, especially considering the cultural context.
And I wonder if they tested some of these people at the time, William, and said, all right, now you come back and tell us, what did you see when you were out of your body?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's exactly what this was. The whole ceremony for many of them was a test, and that's why there were so many different figures, because they would do this in different figures.
I tell you what, it makes sense. Stay with us. Lots more to talk with William Buhlmann about, and then we'll open up the phone lines in the last hour. We'll take your questions, perhaps your OBE stories.